Amen. All right, take your Bibles with us this evening to Matthew chapter 16. Preacher, I thought we study in Genesis. We are. You got to take the whole Bible if you're going to study the Bible. What's wrong with a lot of people? They don't search the Scriptures. And I'm not saying I know everything by no means. We've been looking, and for some of our young people that hadn't been in here, and maybe you weren't here last week either, we've been looking in Genesis chapter 3, of course, at all the great truths that can be dug out of there doctrinally. You know, people say, well, the Old Testament's not for us. Well, that's not true. Even the New Testament tells us that those things were written for our edification, that we could understand. Been looking at Genesis chapter 3. We saw who God was. We saw who Satan was. We can see what we're looking at. We've looked at sin. And now we're looking at what's the wages of sin is what? Death. And we're looking at death. And I know that's not a popular topic. We spent one Wednesday night looking at physical death and talked about the body. Who are you? Well, you are a spirit, you are a soul, and you are a body. And so you're made of a trinity, just like in the image of God. There, you're made of three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so we looked at death there physically, and the last Wednesday night we began looking at what really matters, and that's the soul, the death of the soul. What happens to the soul? Does the soul rot like the flesh? Of course it does not. Does it? What about the soul? Does it go back to God? Some will, the ones that are saved. The spirit goes back to God. But the soul is determining on what you've done with Christ. So that's what we're looking at. And here's what we're going to look at tonight. And if I don't know how long it'll take us tonight. I was hoping to finish everything last Wednesday night, but sort of directed my mindset to something else. And if you don't get anything else out of last Wednesday and tonight, I hope you'll get this. The value of a soul. The value of a soul. What is a soul really worth? And we can't put a numeric number on that soul by no means, but I can put a spiritual price tag on it because Christ paid his life for a soul. And so a soul is very, very important. And I want us to try to break the mold of the majority of our thoughts. Again, Lord, open my eyes that I may bestow wonderful things out of the Word. Psalms 119, verse 18. We have got so directed by the way we've been raised and where we live. Let's not look at the flesh of a man. Let's not look at the spirit of a man. But when you see a person, the thought that ought to come into your mind is there's a soul in that body that needs salvation. A soul. Don't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what nationality they are. Doesn't matter what how they smell or how they look. It matters the fact there's a soul inside of that body. And we need to be more soul attentive is what I'm trying to say. Matthew chapter 16, look at me in verse number 26. This is what the Lord said. Verse 26, and we'll pray and let you be seated. For what is a man profited? And that, boy, isn't that what everybody wants to do? Profit, profit, what can I get? What can I get? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? So we're going to look at the soul a lot this evening. So let's pray and we'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. We praise you. God, thank you, Lord, for that blessed hope this evening, Lord. And God, I just ask you tonight, God, would you please, God, speak to our hearts. Lord, I need revival. I need a stirring in my own heart this evening. God, I pray that you'd help us here at Gospel Light Baptist Church to have a desire to reach souls. God, I'm thankful for the price that was paid for my soul, but not mine only, but for every soul. And God, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts. There might be somebody here tonight that's lost. God, only you can see that heart. Only you can see. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you just draw that one. And I do ask you, God, again, to help us to be soul conscious, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. The soul. And we looked at several things last week and about the soul. And I want to remind you, we just looked at that thought there, but hold your finger there, Matthew. We'll be back in just a second to look at it. But turn over to the book of Jude. I want to remind you about what we talked about the word lost, what it really means to be lost. And I've really tried to think about this verse, and again, we say things, you know, we mentioned hell and, of course, the fire, the worm, and all those things, but we try to say we know what that means, but I really don't feel like I do. I can't get a real grasp on that. But here in verse number 13, the latter part of that verse says, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." We know this evening that there is an eternal, there is eternity. There's an eternity for the saved, and there's an eternity for the lost. Man that dies without Christ will go to hell. But when that person is in hell, there will be a day over there in the book of Revelations when hell and death is brought back up, and they're going to come out of hell, and they're going to stand before God at that great white throne judgment. And they're going to be judged, and they're going to be cast from that place, Matthew chapter 7, away from God. And God's going to say, "I don't even know you." To think that there's a place that is, as the Bible says, blackness of darkness forever, a place where a man is so lost, you're not lost as long as you know where you're at. When you're lost, you don't even know where you're at. Nobody else knows where you're at. And this place, God will not know where you're at. Why? Because you're in a place preserved in darkness forever. So it ought to burden us. And again, I've thought and I've pondered and I've tried to imagine why it doesn't bother us more. Why don't we really hunger? And I'm not saying that we don't. I believe here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, we got some folks that want to be soul winners, that are concerned about where people are going to spend eternity. But where's the weeping? Where's the eagerness to get around the Word of God? And here we are on a Wednesday night. I won't say who said it, but somebody was meeting with me this week and said, "I can't believe people don't come out on Wednesday night." Well, you're here. Thank God you're here. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, Sunday morning is all they want. You know, we should want to know as much about the Word of God that where we can be very well prepared. As I said Sunday night about the fact of when tragedy comes, don't wait till tragedy comes. You need to be prepared before that. We need to be preparing ourselves to when we come across people that we can, you know, not sell them a vacuum cleaner. I don't want to program you. I've programmed a lot of machines in my life, and they do what I tell them to do until something breaks. I've programmed robots to do some weird things before. I don't want to program people, but I want to get people to the place where they thank God that they're saved. They thank God they're never going to go to that awful place called hell, that lake of fire thereafter. And then they see people in such a way that it's not the sin that they see, but they see a soul that needs to be saved. And that's where I'd like us to get to a place where we are so burdened, not just for our own family, but for all flesh, that we would be willing to weep and to pray over souls. So again, here we see in Matthew chapter 16 that what the Lord says here about that fact, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world?" And again, there is no profit in this world. Everything in this world is decaying. You can get all the money you think you could use, and guess what? It won't ever be enough. You can have the biggest house, and it won't be big enough. You can have the nicest automobile, and it'll wear out and die. There's all kinds of this world. You can't get the fullness of what you need in this world. There's no profit in this world, but there is profit in God. Amen. And it says, "What shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world?" And again, as we mentioned last week, that's not just all the millionaires and billionaires. And I didn't go look up who all the rich people are. It doesn't bother me. I don't care who they are. I think I said it last time, but I did read that thing one time about Bill Gates. If he dropped $500 on the ground, it wouldn't be worth his time to stop and pick it up. He's just got that kind of money. But if you had all the money that Bill Gates had and all the money that everybody else has got, the Lord says shall gain the whole world. And that's everything. That's every nugget of gold. That's every diamond. That's every dollar and every penny. If you could mount it all together, God says that wouldn't profit you. And lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. So we think of this thought of a second death. What happens when a man dies? Again, the body decays, the spirit goes back to God. But the soul, where will that soul be? It'll either be in heaven or it'll be in that lake of fire for eternity. So that's our desire this evening. We're going to look at several things this evening as we look, mainly just popping through scriptures, looking at some things this evening. We looked at Luke chapter 12. Let's look there together this evening. Luke chapter 12, we looked there last week, but I think it'd be good to go back there. Luke chapter 12. And look at the mentality of a man here in Luke chapter 12. It's much like men today. Luke chapter 12. Here we have that parable of the rich fool. Verse 16 says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy what? Soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So tonight we're talking again about what's the most important thing, and that is the soul. Here the Lord speaking in a parable, teaching us a great truth. Is here's a man that is rich and he's been prospering in this world. But what's his problem? His problem isn't the thought of riches, but his problem is selfishness. I. There's a lot of people, and I don't know a lot, let's not say a lot, but it's not riches that ruin people. I know people that have that God has blessed and has means, but they've always put God first. But then I know a majority of people is the opposite of that. Sunday morning, take notice as you come to church at all the people that's doing something besides coming to the house of God. Again, what's the most important thing? We're talking about the soul, and here the Lord's talking about that night, that fool, his soul was going to be required of him. Look with me over in the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Here we are at the great white throne. Verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." That's still a horrible thought. Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So the soul, here we see that place, and thank God, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead." I'm glad tonight that can't be me, because why? I'm alive. I have life through how? Christ. But a man that dies without Christ is dead, but he still lives. Isn't that a funny thing? An eternal side of that lake of fire. So we see here that they're cast, that death and hell will give that up, and they're judged by their works. And again, when what's the guide? What is the rule? They're going to look at what they did, and when they don't line up to the book, it's over. That true judge. And I thank God this evening that there is hope this evening that a man can go from being dead to being alive. That's what I was, Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5. How complicated is this thought of a soul being saved? First John chapter 5. Look at verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, let's look up here just a moment, and let's think about this just for a moment. We need to reason things together. We need to look at the simpleness of this. Man has complicated the gospel in so many ways. Baptists have complicated. Well, you got to pray this way, and you got to do this, and if you didn't do that, then you couldn't have done this, so you didn't get in. Do you know there's nowhere in the Bible you'll find anybody praying to get saved? Nowhere. But what's the first thing we want people to do? Pray the sinner's prayer. Is that not what we do? Now, I'm not trying to complicate this thing. I'm not trying to get you to think that I'm crazier than what you probably already think. But I'm just trying to say, let's look at the truth of this thing. How does a man really get saved? It's always belief. Now, man makes it so complicated. Look at verse number 12. Anybody in here like English? Anybody like English? Come on, this is not a scary, this is not a trick. Anybody like English? I don't. You can tell. I'm a math guy. I like math. But this is the truth. This verse 12 is a simple plan of salvation. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
Now, let's think of the simplicity of what you just read. Does anybody see anything funny about that verse? If I could sing the Jeopardy tune, I'd play Jeopardy for us. It's Final Jeopardy. Anybody notice anything about that verse? Now, that's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Does anybody notice anything? Truth there, but there's even something even more amazing than that. You know, this King James Bible is really hard to understand. You know, this old English. Let me help you. You look at every word in that verse. Every word in that verse is a single syllable word. Now, it takes very educated people to read that, I know. Every word of that verse is a single syllable word. Now, some of you used to help teach here at the school. When did y'all start teaching children their syllables? Pretty early in life, right? When? When do they teach them that now? I don't know. First grade maybe now? I don't know. First, second grade, I guess you start learning that kind of thing. Probably kindergarten now, the faster they go now. So I guess a first grader could probably take those hard words of verse 12 and understand that they're single syllables. But the power of that verse, he that hath the Son hath life. What are we talking about? We're talking about death and life. How does a man live? He has to have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. You have Christ, you have life. Now, again, I'm just trying to get you to see this thing is not near as complicated as we have really tried to make this thing. So, pretty amazing, I think. Look over in Proverbs chapter 11. Here's one of those verses that everybody knows. Verse 30 says, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's something about caring for souls. You can't save anybody. You can't, you know, only Christ can save. But again, we need to be soul conscious. It's not the spirit that we should worry about. It's not the flesh of a man that we should worry about. It's the soul of a man that we should worry about. That's the important part. Look over in James chapter 1. Verse 21 of James 1 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. How important is the word of God? It's what it does. Look one other place with me real quickly, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. I hope we're not. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Souls. Souls is what's important. You can teach a man to be a Baptist, and his soul can still go to hell. You can. You can clean him up. He can be a preacher even, and still die, and his soul will go to a lake of fire. The soul. That's what's important. The saving of the soul. That's where our concern should be this evening. I found this, and I can't prove this, but I'm just going to say this is what they say, whoever they are. Scientists tell us that the value of the human body, that's what we're talking about. What is it worth? If a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what is a man really worth? Scientists say this, that if they take, and I don't know how they know this, but I'm just using this for illustration purposes. I could tell you, this makes no difference to me. Scientists say the value of the human body in today's market is less than $4.50. In other words, the chemicals and minerals found in our bodies have very little over-the-counter value. This stuff that we care so much about, you can't even go to McDonald's and eat supper off of it. $4.50. I'd be worth a little more. I'm bigger than most of y'all, so I might be able to get a meal out of me. Yeah. But see, people are so blinded to what really matters. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. We give up on people. I do. I'll be honest with you, church. I'm just giving my heart. I have struggled over the last several weeks about people. Not that I'm concerned about them, but I'm fed up with them. Come on, don't y'all look like y'all don't ever get that way. You know, let's boot them off the edge of the world and be done with them. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But see, when I begin to look at flesh, and I begin to think about how their spirit is acting, I'll lose sight of the value of a person, and that's the soul that's inside of that person. The value of a soul. The flesh, $4.50. Take it down to the junkyard. $4.50. But aren't you glad this evening that's not what God thinks about it? Amen? Amen. What does God think about it? Let's look a little bit of that this evening. Of course, look with me in John chapter 3. Everybody knows that verse, don't we? But let's look at it. The value of a soul. To most people. Remember Esau? What did Esau do? Sold his birthright, didn't he? Why? His flesh was hungry, wasn't it? So many people sell themselves so short. What are you really worth? That person that just you got so mad at today, not your husband or your wife, I hope, the other person, they bothered you. But what did God see about them? Let's look at it. Look with me in John chapter 3. You're probably already there. I hadn't got there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not, what? Perish. What perishes? It's not the flesh that He was worried about. Wasn't His spirit that He was worried about. What was He worried about? The soul of a man. God loved the soul of man so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the world. Every person. From the worst, whoever you think the worst is tonight, to whoever you think the best is, every one of them. As I was reading the thing today, from the king to the pauper, they all have a soul that has the same value. Do you know tonight there's no king, the richest man in the world, whoever he might be, his soul is no more important than mine. And Christ paid the same price for His as He paid for mine. We need to understand the importance of what a soul is, that Christ was crucified to pay a price for a soul. The price of a soul. Look back over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. How important are you to God? See, what we do is we get starting looking at people and we get real frustrated and we just decide it's not worth doing. Sunday school teacher, you're not standing there to change their flesh. Now, when Christ moves in, something does change in a man, amen. I'm thankful for that. But we need to look at people as they're acting in their flesh and spirit, that we're concerned about their soul. Verse 29 of chapter 10 of Matthew says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For ye are not therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows." If God is concerned about animals, and He is to an extent, He knows, He made this world. He's saying tonight that every person, not through the eyes of me, by no means, Because I'll fight for my family and I'll fight for you to a certain place. But if I had to give up you or my family, I'm probably going to give you up. But Christ doesn't look at it that way. Christ paid the ultimate price for the whole world, for the soul of man. Look at Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13, verse 12 says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedges of Ophir. And what I read about that place is that's the place of the best gold that's ever been found, the purest of all gold. And here we see, I will make a man more precious. What do you find precious? Can you look at that murderer on the TV and see it like God sees, that he's more precious than gold? I have a hard time. What about, you know me, June's going to be a tough month on the preacher because Pride Month. Homosexuals is having their days. But you know what? I can honestly stand right here and tell you that I love souls, even the soul of a homosexual. God died for them. I've said it before, and I'm not boasting by no means, but my wife had to come find me because me and Michael Barnett was out soul knocking on doors, and we'd be sitting in the house of a homosexual trying to deal with him about the things of God. He'd get to the place and he'd say, I know, but he wasn't willing to give up. Wife had to try to find me because her mama was dying. And I needed to get to her, down to her mama's house. You know when it's too late for a person? When they draw that last breath. God don't give up on them. I believe a man can sear his soul. I believe a man can get to the place where he's got so hard that God's done with him. That's not my call. I've been commanded to go. Who was it? It was Brother Montgomery, that letter. Where's that guy from? He's got a missionary going to be with him. He said, God's called him to be a fisher of men. And he says, I want to catch black bass, Spanish mackerel, and white something or other. Yeah, there's a Spanish mackerel back there. When you fish, you never know what you might catch. The value of a soul. Look over in Job chapter 28. We're going to see the same side of this verse again. He that winneth souls is what? Wise. Just read there in Isaiah, says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Look here in Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, verse number 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither it is found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. He that winneth souls is wise. What is wisdom? Can't buy it. Look in Luke chapter 15. What is a man worth? Luke 15 says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I wonder why he would do such a thing. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. Verse 3 says, And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me that portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the fields of the feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Three places we find three things that were lost. All three places we find a person that finds the need to look for something that was lost. They didn't look. You ever lost something around the house? The older I get, the more I lose. And people keep telling me that gets worse. But when you know they're supposed to be right here, you start looking for them and you don't stop till you find them. Well, the world is lost. I don't see many people digging around looking for them. But here Christ gives a parable. Three places that we find something lost, but when it's found, oh, there's joy and rejoicing. Tonight there ought to be some rejoicing in our hearts because there's been people found that were lost. Amen. Luke chapter 15, we just looked at that one. Let's see. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33. It's more valuable than the whole world. The soul, just as much as we rejoice when one is found, look what God says about this thought of a soul. We just saw how it was rejoicing in the presence of angels when there's one found. Verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 33 says this, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? As much as there's rejoicing when one is found, there is no rejoicing for those that are lost. Then why are we so happy sometimes? You will not say this out loud. Do you ever ponder those people that die without Christ? I even thought about it when they killed old Hussein. I was excited that they killed him. But then I thought, he's in hell. Preacher, he deserved to die. So did I. God says himself, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How important is the soul? Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 28 of Acts chapter 20. Verse 28 says this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Great price. Look in Psalm chapter 49. The importance of a soul. What's it worth? God said it was worth so much that he'd die for it. Psalm chapter 49. We won't take time to read the whole chapter. It'd be worth you reading. But look at verse number 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Salaam. Like sheep they are led into the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Salaam. soul. We just looked this past Sunday, the Sunday before, two Sundays before that, that great kinsman redeemer, Boaz. What a picture of what Christ has done. He died not only for Naomi, he died not only for Ruth, but he died for Orphan. Nobody, I believe, ever went and told her. How many people tonight are filling their guts with this world and nobody's ever told them their soul has been redeemed? What a thought. Look in Job chapter 36. Job 36:18 says, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? Know not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Why? Because he purchased it with his blood, his precious blood. Look with me in Mark chapter 9. We're just about done. How important is it? Let's see what God says. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 42. Mark 9:42 says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Everybody like your hand? I sort of like mine. Like your feet? Like your eyes? Sure you do. But God said it'd be better to cut it off, pluck it out, than for a man to go to hell. It's pretty important stuff, isn't it? It should be. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. We need to be more concerned about a man's soul than his flesh. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're saved, that's you. We need to be soul conscious. We need to value the souls as Christ did. Like that song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep over the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Tonight, can we say tonight, listen, there's no doubt in my mind, been there, seen it. I had to have a man handcuffed one night at a house fire. I was the highest ranking guy there that night, and so I was in charge of everything, and this guy's house is on fire, he would not stay out of the house. He kept running back in, running back in, running back in. We'd drag him back out, drag him back out. Finally, a deputy got there, and I had him handcuffed and put in the back of the car until we got done with his house. Something in that house was so precious to him that he'd be willing to run into a burning house to get whatever it was. There wasn't a body inside of there. There was no human being in there. I don't know what he was after. But it was precious to him. Tonight, how precious are the souls of man that we would want to rescue the perishing? How far would you go? How long would you take to reach a lost person? I found this little story or poem, and I'll read it and I'll close. It says, the value of a soul. What is the value of a soul? I asked the Lord one day, what is it worth upon the earth? How much does one soul weigh? Then he showed me a set of scales in perfect balance there. And as I watched, he filled one side with wealth beyond compare. There was silver, gold, and jewels so beautiful and rare. The different treasures of the world, he quietly placed them there. My heart began to tremble as I watched his nail-scarred hands, for on the other side of the great scale, I saw one single man. Who is that man, I asked him, that he should have such worth? He surely must be famous and the greatest man on earth. Step closer now and take a look, Jesus said to me. As I drew near, I recognized a man I'd often seen. His clothes were old and ragged. In his hand, he held a glass. He was our city's poorest drunk, a man of lower class. Lord, you don't know that man, I said. He's lived his life in vain. He'll bring disgrace into the church and reproach upon your name. How many Baptists are that way? We don't want him. He'll make us look bad. He'll bring disgrace into the church and reproach upon your name. I'd like to know him, Jesus said, but he does not know me. But if you'll help me reach him, then what a change you'll see. I'll take that wretched, sinful life and cleanse it with my blood. And when he gives his heart to me, I'll fill it with my love. His soul cannot be purchased with the wealth you've seen today. But I was sent to die for him. My blood has paid the way. He's my lost sheep, the Savior said, and I love you both the same. But if you think he's worthless, then I surely died in vain. When we, in our flesh, look at a man and think that, we're telling Christ that he died in vain. It says, his soul cannot be purchased with the wealth you've seen today, but I was sent to die for him. My blood has paid the way. He's my lost sheep, the Savior said, and I love you both the same. But if you think he's worthless, then I surely died in vain. So when you look upon someone whose life is wrecked by sin, if you'll just have compassion, then you'll share your brother's pain. You must not look upon his past or what he seems to be, but look beyond his many faults and know I'll set him free. Don't look at him as just a man and only see his shame, but see him as a precious soul that I have died to save. This earthly wealth, the Savior said, cannot draw men to me, but I paid a price upon the cross to set this whole world free. The soul. Tonight, are we soul conscious? That's what I want to ask you. What about your soul? Jude, verse 13, says there's a place prepared, black darkness, forever. If you don't know the Lord this season, that's where your soul is going to spend eternity. Oh, tonight would it break our hearts. But Christ has paid a price, a great price, to redeem the soul of man. Let's stand together this evening.